Now I'm going to talk to you from my heart. Can I be vulnerable with you, church? Is that okay? Can I preach right from here? I'm not a person who's given to three-point sermons. It must be real for me and the anointing must be there. I want to tell you about what happened to me last year, an experience I had. I've been traveling the world preaching the gospel for probably 15 years, close to there. And I became very, very committed to that mission. Now our team in Germany, we have 5 churches. We have churches growing now in a new one in Czech Republic. People want to plant churches with us now. We're sending teams out. We send people out all the time. We have over 100 people on our team. It's all growing. And last year, and probably the last 2 years, I became very, very busy and very given to that mission. And I felt the Spirit of God tell me to fast. And I said yes, reluctantly. And he told me through a Lou Engel book, actually, to fast for 40 days. And I didn't want to do 40 days, but I saw this book and I just opened the book. And it said, you must give, you know, Elijah gave 40 days. I'm like, okay, God, you're speaking to me. Well, I did it. And in the first week, I had several dreams. And one of those dreams was very profound for me. And this is where I want to begin this message. And I felt the Lord clearly tell me as I was praying for you to share this. In the dream, and again, for the live stream's sake, I want to quantify what I'm saying here. It was a dream. This isn't reality, all right? In the dream, I was holding drugs. Now, I hate drugs. I'm a pastor. So you know those dreams you have where you're sinning in your sleep and then you're like, oh no, I'm sinning, and you wake up and you're like, oh, praise God, it was a dream. Ever had one of them? Okay, very silent today. I'm trying this side. You ever had a dream where you're sinning in your sleep and like some sexual sin or something, and you're like, oh no, and then you wake up and go, praise God, I wasn't sinning. You ever had that happen? Put your hand up if you're an honest human being here. Okay, now many hands, praise the Lord. So I was in the dream like, I have drugs, I hate drugs. And so I took one of them and I threw it on the ground and I smashed it. And I said, I'm a pastor, I'm a man of God. I smashed it on the ground. And I said, I hate that. And then in my other hand, I had another drug. It was a different kind of drug. And I said, I hate this too. I shouldn't have this like this. And I said, but I'll deal with that one later. And I put it in my pocket. And then in the dream, my heart's racing, and then I wake up in the morning. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. It's a dream. I didn't really do anything wrong, but I couldn't get back to sleep. I sat in my bed in the pitch black and I felt the weight of God on me. I felt very disturbed. Eventually, I asked God a question. I said, God, was that dream from you? And he said, yes. And I said, but that's evil. I hate drugs. I hate sin. And I said, what does it mean? And he said, you know what the drugs are, Ben? And I said, tell me. And I was scared. He said, Instagram, YouTube. I could barely sleep properly after that, and I thought about it for the next days, weeks. And God began to unveil to me that I had a passive, acceptable, applauded Christian sin called busyness. It's applauded. Because we need to be good stewards, right? Now, I want to talk to you about a testimony of one of the most powerful churches in the world that was so profound that when a false teacher would come to that church, they would rebuke the next week from the pulpit and say, that's not God's doctrine. They loved pure doctrine. And they also were one of the most giving, benevolent churches in the world. And they love giving. And this is the kind of church with young men that you'd want your daughters to marry. I mean, faithful givers. They hate false doctrine. They love the truth of Scripture. How many of you understand we need more preachers who love Scripture more than their opinion? Amen. And so this church is doing such an amazing job. And they're doing so well. And this church also, not only do they do that, they care for the poor and they've been persecuted. So they've got people against them and they're not falling away, they're not getting bitter at Jesus, they're standing with God. What a testimony this church carries. And it's the testimony of the church in Revelation 2. Let's have a look at it together. Verse 2, where Jesus says to them, I know your works, your labor. He says, I know your patience. You can't bear those who are evil. You test the ones who say they're apostles and they're not. You rebuke them. You love good teaching. You love all that stuff. And I know that and I commend that. It's good. Then he says this, verse 3, and you've persevered, you have patience, and you've labored for my name's sake, and you haven't become weary. So you're so faithful. You're really good at showing up. So this church is already, it's winning. Like, this church is fulfilling the will of God in the way that they're walking. And this is the crazy thing is, I can see myself here, guys. I can look back in the last years and see where I was so faithful. And I was rocking up. My Saturday nights, they're devoted to prayer. They're devoted to sermons. They're devoted to every day preaching the gospel on the street to one individual. Every day seeking people to preach the gospel. When people looked at my life, they were like, he's burning for God. When they saw my outward life and even my private life, he's burning for God. But then the Lord shocks me in my sleep and shows me and actually inspired me to check how much time I scroll on the phone and how much time I busy myself with people and how little time I had taken in those years to sit in front of Jesus and behold my God and know my God. But everybody else could see me and go, wow, what a busy, amazing individual. And I have the repertoire of Ephesus, of this church. Laboring, hating false doctrine, that's me. But in verse 4, you find Jesus standing in the face of this church, telling them what really matters to him. And what really does matter to Jesus. He didn't die so that we would have a resume of works. We are called to do them. It's the same church in Ephesians that Paul was talking to where he said, you're created in Christ, Ephesians 2:10, created for good works. It's not one versus the other. But you see, what I'd done subconsciously is I had placed one before the other. I had gotten the order wrong. And so Jesus says here, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, I know in this church, you've heard sermons about this before for sure, because I know your pastor well. He's a beautiful man of God. I know he would be inspiring you to intimacy. But I want to tell you a little bit about this church before we pray, because this church was like me. Guess who their leadership was? They had Timothy, they had the Apostle John, and they had Mary, the mother of Jesus, all in their church within one decade. They had the best leadership in the world. They had leaders who were burning, so much so that they would give their lives for the gospel. But that church, Jesus stood against them and says, I've got this against you. Because the very thing that matters to my heart, you have left it. It wasn't like that they were even close to it. They had left. And that's so scary. You can walk through the doors of church. You can be on serve team. You can even preach the gospel. You can love good doctrine. And you can be far, far, far from being in love with Jesus. And Jesus uses a term here that you find very rarely in the Bible. He uses the term first love. What is the first love? Do you remember when you were first saved? Some of you might have forgotten. Some of you might have been brought up in church, and so you never really had a time where you understood how wicked your life was when Jesus Christ called you. I preach a lot in my home church on the wrath of God. The reason I do is because Jesus said to me, those who are forgiven much will love much, and many Christians walk in the doors of church thinking they're pretty good. And because they think they're pretty good, they don't know they were forgiven much. And they look at a guy like me with a bad testimony of a lot of sin and go, that's why he's on fire. No, I'm not on fire because of the sins I did. I'm on fire because I understand who called me. I have absolutely no right to have a friendship with Jesus Christ, but he called me. And you don't have the right either. See, that's why first love matters so much to him, because he's standing at the door of your heart going, do you see the invitation you have? I mentor right now today, and I mentor a European president. I mentor a person who's leading an entire country of Europe. You'll never see it on my social media. It's all private. I've met twice with that person in the last year in their government. Two times I've flown. It's been amazing. We text once a month, once every 2 months. We're texting very frequently. It's been phenomenal. But you know what? When they text me, I respond. They get the first place. When they text me, there's this weight of importance connected to it that I adjust myself. The busyness doesn't matter to me. If they ask me, can you get on a plane in 2 days and can you come to my chancellery and pray for me? I would do it because of the importance of who they are. And somewhere in the mix of ministering for God and doing everything for God and busying myself, I lost doing it with God. I lost part of that. And this church lost that. And Jesus says, he doesn't say, I've got a suggestion for you. He says, you and me are against each other now because you used to love me and now you love all of this. And you're not in love anymore with me, and I didn't die for you so you could cut the grass. Jesus doesn't want a bride that works for him and never kisses him. But I had become that way. Some part of my heart had become calloused. What about you this morning? Where is your heart with Jesus? In verse 5, the Lord Jesus gives the antidote and the example of the freedom that is necessary, but he gives you the answer. You know what he says? He says, would you just remember? Would you remember from where you've fallen? Remember the first works? Do you remember when you were in the car 20 years ago and you just couldn't stop weeping? Do you remember when Darlene Check CDs, you remember those things back in those days? And Darlene Check was your worship leader taking you to the throne of God in your apartment? And hours in front of God, weeping, weeping, not scrolling, scrolling. The enemy's greatest tool in this generation, it's not sin, it's busyness, it's distraction. We are scrolling, looking at this thing instead of, I've got a suggestion for you, have another scroll. Take another scroll. Take his scroll. Do you remember the first works? You know, someone didn't have to tell you to share Jesus, did they, when you were first saved? Statistics show that Christians who first meet God, they're the ones, 96% of the church doesn't share their faith in the Western world. But the 4%, those 4% who share their faith continually are saved less than 1 year. Why? Because they're in love. They can't help but give Jesus away. Do you remember when prayer meetings used to be full in churches 20, 30 years ago? Now they're the least attended. Do you know why? Because we are busy and we've got better things to do than be in the intimate presence of Jesus contending for a nation. We've become calloused. We go to the prayer meeting instead of going to Jesus. I will, I won't attend. It's not about attendance. It's about the God who's calling you. Do you remember your first works? Do you remember when Jesus was so merciful with you and forgave your pornography? And you wept and wept and wept for 5 years for a breakthrough and God finally gave it to you. And then after the bliss of that freedom, you were so in love. And then the comfort of that freedom 2 years later and you've lost him. I was in a stadium that we hired, Pastor Yang, and I had a very profound thing happen to me in a big stadium. Looking at a crowd that I was the leader, 20,000 people. And on my left side, I felt the presence of something very strong. I thought probably it's an angel or a demon. It's so strong. And I was like this, looking at the crowd, watching, you know, just like that worship was going. And all of a sudden I feel this presence and it got strong. And I was like, oh, and then I knew it's Jesus. It's the presence of Jesus. And you know what he said to me? This is what he said. It was like a strong whisper in my ear. He said, don't lose me in the 20,000. Don't lose me. Don't let these eyes look at this more than this. He didn't die for us to see each other. He didn't die out for us just to do the works. That's part of it. But the order has to be correct. Otherwise, the Lord is against our way. And what happens when God's against you? All of a sudden, your prayers aren't getting answered. All of a sudden, your heart feels dull. All of a sudden in worship, you know what you're doing at the same time while worship's playing in your house? You're like this. People texting, it's like it's all part of it, it's all mixed together. Try doing that with intimacy with your wife. Try doing that with intimacy with your husband. Try doing that when a baby comes out of the womb, out of the woman. Try doing that, grabbing the brand new child that has been birthed and then just holding it in one hand while the nurses, and then just scrolling with the other. Life doesn't make sense when we're duplicity, like when we have that duplicity. It only makes sense when we are single. Life only makes sense when we have the first things first. And the Lord wants to invite some of you this morning. Do you remember His love? Do you remember His intimacy? Do you remember when you grabbed this book and you couldn't wait to read it? You're just feasting on it hours a day. Do you remember that innocent feeling? Or has churchianity taken you away from Christianity? I feel the Lord wants to call you back, some of you, this morning. I felt it last night, all night. I felt it on the plane. I felt some of you, you love Him, but like Jesus said here, they actually left their first love. They weren't even near it. They completely were gone. And He warned them. He said this to them, "Please return, or I'll take the lampstand out of its place." What's the lampstand? The ability to see God. You know what happens to us sometimes? We become so numb. We don't feel God's presence anymore. We don't feel love for people anymore. We just become robotic and numb. And then in God's presence, we're still numb. Then when we read the word, we're numb. But we can watch those movies and scroll for hours a day. But the scriptures, we read them for 10 minutes and we're falling asleep. The Lord invites you, come back. But He warned that church. He said, if you don't come back, the lampstand will leave you. Well, guess what happened? Not too long afterwards, sadly, to my amazement, I've researched this, the history, it's true. The history books are true. Jesus took the lampstand away because Paul wrote to them, the book of Ephesians, about how deep, how high, how wide is the love of Christ. He's saying, go there. Go there. But they didn't. Then Jesus Himself, and in chapter 3 of Revelation, He says, be zealous and repent. Be zealous. Be zealous. What does zeal mean? It means I'm not going to do this the same old way. And this morning, I don't want you to respond the same old way. You can tell this isn't a sermon to puff up my ministry or to make me look like a good preacher. This is an invitation. Do you understand the one who holds the universe is calling you? And He's not saying, I want all your good works. He's saying, I died for you. It's you I want. And we utterly do not deserve that fellowship, let alone say to Him, I'll fix that later. I'll get close to you later. I'll do this on my terms. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, it means He's your rabbi. But for some of you, He's your Savior and you're your rabbi. You choose when you read. You choose your pursuit. You choose your love. And that's what Ephesus did. They chose. They did their Bible stuff. They did all their stuff. And He said, hang on, hang on. Isn't this whole thing birthed by me? Did you lose sight of these holes? Wasn't this always supposed to be about me and you? And I had to repent, church. I had to say, God, I'm a minister. I'm anointed, but I'm distracted. And I don't want to be. I want to be in love because I'm not going to stand in front of anything that I've built. I will stand in front of You, Lord. I want to fall in love with God. That's life. That's true life. So I'm going to ask you right now to respond. Ephesus took this as a warning. Did you hear what Jesus said? He's against this. Yeah, we'll fix that later. Did you hear what He said though? He said, return. Yeah. I'll pray later. We'll pray. Their lamp went out. I want you to forget this room. I feel it already. I feel it. I feel it in some of you. The Holy Spirit like this vibrating on your chest. And you're about to burst into tears because you know that's you. You're about to burst into tears. Let it happen. You've become so put together. Let it happen. Let Him move on you. If the Lord is touching you right now, I don't want you to respond weakly. I want you to get up and run as fast as you can down to this altar and kneel down and say, God, I want my first love back. I have become callous. And that means you leaders. I'm talking to you from a position of a leader, telling you vulnerably, don't protect your reputation. Protect your relationship with Jesus. If you know that you've become distracted and busy and divided in your heart, get down here as fast as you can. The well of God's mercy today will revive your first love. Come, church, He loves you. Come, He loves you. Come, kneel down before the Lord. There's many more of you. You're just afraid of people's opinion. Come, come to Jesus. Come, come. He's in love with you. Keep coming, there's so many more. The Lord, show me, it's about half of the church that's gonna be down here. But you've got to come. You've got to come to His invitation. Keep coming. Keep coming. He wants to revive your first love for Him. He loves this church. He loves your leaders. He loves this church. But He wants to bring you back to a very, very, very deep place. Just keep coming. There's more. There's many more. Come onto the steps, please. Come on the steps because there's too many behind you. You guys, come up here on the steps. There's too many people coming. Come, come to the steps. Just kneel right here. Kneel on the steps. Come, come, make room. There's more of you. I invite you. Don't deny your own heart's cry. Don't deny the cry of your heart for Jesus. Perhaps you're in this room and you've never really been saved. You don't know what it means to be a Christian, but you know what I'm saying to you. You're like, I used to believe, I kind of believe. You need to respond too because Jesus died for you and He's calling you. But I'm gonna ask one more time, would all of you close your eyes, please? Pastor Yang can stop me anytime, by the way. I'm so submitted to Him. I love Him very deeply. And He knows that. He can come to me and I'll close. But I really feel the Lord on this. Close your eyes, everybody, please. Put your hand up if you know this message was speaking to you. Put your hand up if you know it was speaking to your heart. Put your hand up high. Don't be afraid. No one can see you. Okay, there's many hands now who are sitting still. Those hands, you come down. Come to Jesus. Don't fear man's opinion. Don't fear what people think of you. Come. Come, there's many, many more. Come. I saw you, brother. Come, come, come. Don't be ashamed. We don't live for the opinions of man. We must come back to Jesus. Keep coming, friends. Keep coming. And now I'm gonna pray that the Holy Spirit would fall. But can I make a suggestion for you? Would you let go of your reputation? And if you begin weeping like crazy, let it happen, okay? Let God fall on your heart. Let Him touch you now. It's okay. Let Him revive you. Let Him revive you. Let Him revive you. All those emotions need to come out. If you hide behind a wall, nothing will change. Now, open His heart now. Right now. All of it. All of it. Come back to Him. Come back to Him. All of it. Lift your voice, please. Guys, you cannot live under fear and receive from God. It's too hard because you're worried. What will I sound like? Forget this room. Think of Jesus. Tell Jesus, I want you back. I want my first love back. And would all of you stand, please? Would you pray with me? Everybody's on the ground if they're there, stay kneeling. But all the rest of you, would you pray this with me? Out loud, say, Dear Lord Jesus. No, we're gonna pray to Him. Forget this room. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to take the veil from me. Restore my first love. I renounce distraction and any spirit of busyness. Revive me. Bring me close to you again. Yes, just keep praying. Keep praying to Him. Now, Father, I ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Would you sweep through this whole altar? Would you sweep through the hearts of all these people and revive their first love? Sweep through the altar, Lord. It's okay. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. It's okay. Let it happen. Go deep. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen. Go, go. Let it happen. Go deep. Let it happen. Let it happen. Revive her. Revive them. Holy Spirit, would you sweep through this entire building? Pray, ask Him, precious Holy Spirit. Pray, sweep through us, Lord. Bring us back to the face of Jesus, to our first love fire. Yes, keep praying, keep praying. Just a little longer. Keep praying, keep praying. Keep praying. All of us, let's ask Him together. Lord Jesus, would you come? Would you come with your weighty presence? Come, Lord, and sweep this altar and bring their hearts back to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, more. More, Lord Jesus. More, Lord Jesus. More, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. Worthy is the Lamb. And we sing, worthy is the Lamb. Yes, come on, all of you, just sing to Him.
Seated on the throne.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God.
Crown you now.
First love. First love fire. First love fire.
You reign victorious.
We place you high as the first place.
And high and lifted up.
Revive her.
And Jesus, Son of God. The darling of heaven crucified.
You reign. You reign victorious. Sing again, worthy is the Lamb. We sing,
worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. And we crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Worthy is the Lamb.
And Father, we come before you this morning, and we rend our hearts, Lord. Not just our garments, we rend our hearts, Lord. Lord, we have heard the word today, and we respond to you, Lord. And we cry out to you, O God, restore our first love, Lord. We return to that first love, Lord. Oh, the times of prayer, Lord, of intercession and prayer, of intimacy, Lord, of the word of God. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, oh God, we pray, let the fire burn in our hearts today, Lord. Let the fire burn in our hearts today, Lord Jesus. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in our hearts, oh God. That first love, the first time we fell in love with you. Restore that love, Lord, in the leaders, in me, in the leaders in this church, oh God. Let the fire burn in this house, Lord. And let the candlestick burn brightly, O God. Let this house be a house on fire for you, Lord. Let this house be full of the presence of God. Let this house be full of the holiness of God. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. Oh, keep us small in our own eyes, O Lord God. Oh, Ramamamaya Yeshon. Lord, we pray today, O God, that, Lord, you will open your heart to this house, O God, that we will begin to see, even as Pastor Ben was saying, Lord, that the lampstand gives us insight, Lord, insight into your heart. Oh, dear Jesus, we pray, oh God, fill our hearts with such your love, oh God. Oh, Ramama Shia Ramasore, Lord, I respond to this word today, Lord. I respond to this word, Lord. I respond to this word today. Oh, Ramo Shika, rend my heart, oh God. I humble myself before you, Jesus. Ribabushaka, more of you, Lord. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Lord. We repent, Lord. Your word says to remember from whence we have fallen and to repent, Lord. Oh, we repent, Lord, for our busyness, Lord. We repent, Lord, oh, for the things that have caught our attention instead of the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. Father, we pray today, let your presence fill our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, let your presence fill our hearts today, Lord. We want to stay here in this posture of worship. We want to stay, Lord, in this posture, Lord, of adoration, oh God. We thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Oh, Rabashika, let this house, Lord, live before you forever, Lord. Oh, let this house stand with you for all eternity, O God. Rama, let the fire burn in this house, O God. Let the fire burn in our hearts, O Jesus. I just want to say one last thing before we dismiss you. That the problem Jesus told them was that they left their first love, but he gave them the solution. He said, number one, he said, remember. Remember from whence you have fallen. He said, repent, hallelujah, repent. And then he said these words. He said, do the first works. Do the first work. What are the first works? Prayer. Spend time in his presence. Read the word. Read the word. Read the word, hallelujah. Spend time in the word. Spend time in his presence. Pray, hallelujah. Meditate in him, hallelujah. Do the first works. There has to be a discipline in our own personal lives. And I want to encourage you every morning when you get up, make time for him. Don't try and find time. You got to make time. You got to ring fence time with Jesus, hallelujah. And it's non-negotiable, non-negotiable. Make time for him, hallelujah. Kura masanda. This morning I talked about the power of God. And I talked about prayer, and I talked about reading the word. Someone said, Pastor Young, which is more important? Is prayer more important or reading the word? Well, my answer is, which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? You need both, amen. You need prayer and you need the word, and you need to do this on a daily basis, amen. So, Father, we pray today that even as we are dismissed, your presence will go with us. I speak the blessings of God upon these precious people, the blessings of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. And so may God put his name on you forevermore. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a big praise. Amen. Hallelujah.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.